So weird how life
works.
Yeah. I would have not thought this would be me.
Hey, Roll Tide.
I'm not perfect. I'm going to stumble over my words. I'm going to make mistakes.
I think I like people that look like they haven't bathed.
Crunchy. Yeah, but I'm a total train wreck.
Are you ready to do this?
Guarantee you'll see the beast.
Hello, Internet.
I'd like to provide you with a list of things that I could have been doing instead of watching this show.
Oh. Please provide me with that list.
I could have been watching Chernobyl. I could have
Obviously, we could have been watching Chernobyl.
I could have been in the bed. I could have...
you could do all these things at once.
I could have greased my scalp real good. I could have put some of my clothes away. I could have washed the big chair. You know, the duvet cover on the big chair. I could have washed the duvet on the bed and the duvet cover on the big chair.
It sounds like what you're saying is... This was a bad episode of television.
Remember last season how I said the worst season of The Bachelorette that we had ever seen was the Women Tell All for Colton's season? I really take that back.
This is a brand new worst episode of the show.
This is actually it. This is actually it.
Good news. The episode of our show still going to be good. Still intending to be good. Right? We're not going to give up halfway through. And just go, we got there, like, most of it. I would just fill the rest of it. I don't care.
Much like the Soviet Union did during the Chernobyl disaster. They just gave up midway through. They said, whatever you're talking about, that's not true. That didn't happen.
I mean, we're only two episodes in, so.
And yet, we are living through three decades.
All right. So, The Bachelorette has a problem.
I'm so tired, dude.
This show...
like, I'm so tired.
This show was bad.
Oh.
There's... whatever. Let's not mourn it. Let's get right into it. Let's tell people what happened.
Yep.
Maybe... I'm going to use some work jargon here. Maybe give them, like, 20 minutes of their time back.
Let me give you 20 minutes back.
Don't book my time if you don't need my time. You're not giving me time. I don't sit down at the beginning of the meeting and go, I'm going to give you 30 minutes of my time now. Do with it what you want.
You literally wasted my time. If you're giving me time back, you wasted my time.
That is not the way these things go.
Literally.
It's not an open exchange of time where you are indebted, like another person owes you your time because you sent them a calendar invite. Ugh. Work jargon.
Jesus Christ.
So we start the episode. Mm-hmm. We're still in Inverness, Scotland. In Inverness.
Yeah.
Inverness.
Yeah, you got it.
I like the French pronunciation.
Inverness. It rhymes with La Croix.
Right, so we're still there, and this is Luke P's part two of his one-on-one date.
Yeah.
Where it is not going well.
Yeah, so this is after the fact that Hannah... has still decided not to give Lupe the rose for his one-on-one date, but has said, just go back home and we'll figure it out later. And he basically comes back to the guys and gives this, like, stand-up book report of what happened on his date, which I find
You have to move the plot along.
Yeah, so...
They can't just have Chris Harrison pop in and be like... I'm here live reporting at the scene of The Bachelor where...
But, I mean, the weird thing is...
Somebody has to say what's happening.
But the weird thing is that in other instances, the guy who was on the date would come in, would sit down, the guys would say, hey, how was your date? And then he would go, man, it was good. You know, it was pretty chill. And then that would be it. But Luke has decided that because he's the weirdest person anybody's ever met and super awkward and strange and uncool, that he needs to stand up and provide a book report of what happened on his date, what he said, and how he said it.
He's definitely the worst.
And it's so funny because, like I said last week, even the guy said this, that he's like, man, when Luke P doesn't come home, I'm going to celebrate. And as you know, it is one of my favorite moments on the show when somebody that everybody hates goes home and then
it's
people
a victory
start
for everyone,
popping
really.
Champagne bottles. It is just, oh man, so fun.
So I don't want to cut you off, but I feel like you glossed over what actually happened on the stage.
Oh yeah, I think we should address that because you weren't here last week, Adam. Why don't you?
Well, no, I mean just on tonight's episode.
Yeah,
so it starts in the middle of the date, which is a clever literary tactic, you know.
I don't want to.
You might find, you know, a story starts right in the middle of the action, you know, like Girl with Curious Hair is like that.
Oh my God.
So anyway, this date is miserable.
Miserable.
It's like neither one of them can communicate feelings via language. It's like watching a person who speaks English and a person who speaks Spanish have a conversation in French. It's terrible.
It's like that.
They just sit there and they go, they have these very long pauses and nobody really completes a sentence. It's just a series of fragments and they're all just emotions.
And at least to me, it feels like I could understand what Hannah was looking for. I mean, granted, it took us 2.5 episodes to get there, but I at least understand that she was looking for Luke to say something about how he was feeling about the experience instead of saying, I just want whatever you want.
He is just a pickup line machine.
Yes.
He is like a robot that only speaks in like phrases that a mostly drunk girl might like pick up on at the bar, like might respond well to at a bar.
Right.
And then you'd never see, like, it would work for a time. Like, right. Listen, what do I want? Oh, I want what you want. Like, that's not really how you have conversations with people.
No, and not somebody that you're trying to be in a long-term relationship with. And it's very clear that Luke P even said himself before he got on the show that, hey, I used to bang a lot of chicks and then I decided I wasn't going to do that anymore. And it's clear that he's still using this language in this situation.
He only has one speed, and it's try to go bang a lot of chicks. Yeah. It just happens that the only chick around is this one.
Is this one.
So she goes, yeah, I don't like you. I'm not giving you the rose. You have to leave. And he goes, wait a minute. You mean I have to go right now? And she goes, yes.
And literally she said, I mean, of the few notes that I wrote, she said, I'm not going to give you a rose. And he said, I'm confused. What are you confused about? We have literally, over the course of the past 6 hours, tried to have a reasonable conversation, and we have not been able to do that, and it makes me concerned about our relationship as a whole. What could be confusing to you about that, sir?
He's just confused when a woman doesn't just want to be on the Luke bone anytime. Failure does not compute.
I agree with that. And Hannah then continued to say, I want you to think about what we've talked about. And frankly, I'm good. Like, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Go home, put your head in the oven.
And she said, and I quote, and please respect the decision that I have made.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Luke doesn't like to respect anything.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama. Right there.
So Luke walks like 5 feet at the door, turns around and comes back, and he's like, you know what? The rules don't apply to me. I am not going to play by these. I'm going to go in and just beg to be back on the show. And it works because this is ABC. And The Bachelor is over here like, hey, we got to do something interesting.
Or as I like to call it, the old George Costanza.
Hey, you got to go home.
No.
Nope.
Nope. I'm not leaving.
Nope.
Nope. I'm going to be here.
I'm still on the show.
So he comes back and he goes and provides, as we said, the book report to the rest of the guys. So unfortunately, they didn't get a chance to celebrate. I personally love this. This is great because in this instance, the bond that the guys have because they hate Luke P so much is the most wonderful, beautiful male relationship building that I've seen on television in quite some time. I mean, when Luke P came back and started giving his book report, Grant, the unemployed guy, knocked into the Jetty Bear's knee in an effort to kind of say, you hearing this?
These guys are all like snuggling about it.
I love it. I love it.
The worst part is that real time, like I'm talking from the time this episode started until the time this happened.
Yeah.
The plot is not moving forward.
Nothing has been advanced.
It took 30 minutes.
It's like being in a creative writing class.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I said it.
How would you know?
Oh, you don't know me, girl. You don't know what classes I took at Miami University, the Harvard of the Midwest. Sir?
First of all, I'm not trying to have you advertise for your college right now.
Harvard of the Midwest.
Second of all...
Harvard of the Midwest.
Second of all, you didn't take creative writing classes. Yeah, I know.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I did.
What did you write?
Fan fiction. That you've never read.
You didn't write fan fiction for a creative writing class.
How do you...
They allow that?
Adam?
Harvard of the Midwest, my ass, allows fan fiction in a creative writing class?
They don't know it was fan fiction.
That is
the names could have been changed.
That is so borderline literary.
The names could have been changed.
Get out of here.
You don't know.
You don't know.
What are you even doing on my show talking that way about fiction?
I'm just telling you what happened.
So, this takes 30
I also
minutes.
Have no one to corroborate my evidence, but it
I know.
Happened.
It did not.
It did.
It's my word against yours.
Sure is.
I'm not taking I wrote fiction as an answer from you.
And I'm not backing down, brother.
All right. So this takes 30 minutes. It's slow and it's painful.
Arduous.
And it's very unnecessary. And it's like, it's just very uncomfortable to be adjacent to.
It is like the effects of the nuclear explosion at Chernobyl.
That is right.
Yes.
This is not a bomb.
This is not a bomb.
This is not a slow motion train wreck. Mm-mm. This is Chernobyl.
This is Chernobyl. 30 years of nuclear waste. It is seeped into one small town.
Bullets.
Bullets. A million.
In the air.
Bullets in the air.
A million, billion,
a million,
trillion bullets
trillion
in the air.
Bullets in the air.
This is long and deep and devastating and complete annihilation emotionally.
What a show, you guys. Chernobyl is really upsetting, but very good. Almost like this episode, except good.
It was terrible, and it will continue to be terrible as long as Luke is on the show. The show is about Luke.
Yeah.
From now until he is gone, the show is only about him, and probably about him after he's gone too, because she can't carry a show, and they've put the burden of the show on his craziness.
Well, craziness and, you know, triangle-shaped body. My God. Ugh.
One final note on Luke B.
Please.
If you're a single woman listening to the show, is this what it's like to date people?
Hey.
I don't know. I was last single in the year 2010.
Same.
Right, because we've been together.
Same.
What if your number was
what
different?
What if my answer was different? What if I said 2009? Ooh.
Well, that would be fine.
Wait.
It has to be after 2010.
Damn it, why are you the math person? Oh.
It's okay. This is long. This messed everybody up. This Chernobyled everyone.
Oh, God. My hand.
no, but seriously.
The graphite.
Thought experiment. If you're single and you're out there, I feel you. I'm
so sorry, girl and guy. I'm so sorry.
This is terrible. I hope this isn't happening to people out there, but it is.
Adam, it's happening every
Chernobyl day. Is happening around
Chernobyl
us.
Chernobyl is happening.
Once it happens
us.
And it's in the air, it's just there. It's just like that now.
Yeah, it's just like that. I just have this cough. I literally just have a cough.
So that's it.
Yeah.
So all the guys pick up what's left of their mouths, jaws, get themselves dressed up. You know, Mike puts on his fancy red pants.
Yeah.
Dustin puts on his t-shirt that doesn't fit.
Ugh, Jesus right? Christ. I can't believe this guy with this nose ring is still here.
It is a miracle.
I'm so upset. And guys.
It is the opposite of Chernobyl. It is a constantly surrounding us miracle.
Yes. And one of the things that I always like to bring up is that this is usually the time in the season that I like to call the moon week. And it is apparent on The Bachelor because this is the week when everybody starts crying, getting upset. The girls are synced up. And the guys also get synced up to an extent. This is the week when everybody gets a haircut. So it's very clear that there's a lot of fresh fades in the room.
Is getting a haircut a euphemism that you're talking about? No, they literally got haircuts.
Yeah.
But also, maybe now this is a euphemism.
They're synced up.
It's
the guys are synced up.
It's been a long week.
It's been a long
week.
I had a haircut. Ugh, yikes. Let me get you some potato chips and some chocolate.
So the guys all dress up their nice brand new haircuts in their nice suits.
Mike brings out his red pants.
Right. Again.
Delicious.
Right. I didn't notice that he'd worn them again until the clip show.
So
anyway.
God, we'll get to it in a second. Jeez.
So they all sit down and she goes in there and she's like, hey, we're gonna have a cocktail party. And
you know what? Let me me stop you right there, Adam?
Okay.
She looked great in that white dress. I loved it.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. I mean, you're not into it.
I'm just very not into it.
I just really felt the style of the dress was cute. Like, I mean, I sometimes think about our rehearsal dinner. I wish I could have gone back and worn a different outfit. That's it.
What would you have worn?
I don't know. Probably like a blazer dress or something a little bit skimpier.
No need.
Not like skimpy, but like something with a spaghetti strap. Like very similar to what Cher wore, the white dress in Clueless.
Nah, you didn't need a white dress on the night of the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah,
that's sacrilege.
No, it's a thing. I wore white at the rehearsal dinner. Don't you remember?
No.
The devil. Anyway, no. So Hannah
looks... I swear, I'm a good husband. Okay. I just don't remember.
Okay, sure. So Hannah...
I don't remember what I wore on the rehearsal dinner.
You wore a tie and a button-down shirt and,
oh, well,
and slacks.
Of course, that's 100%.
I could go into the closet and pick it out right now.
I bet you could.
I know.
I bet you could.
It's really, truly a superpower of mine that I am able to do some of this stuff.
We've been through this.
We will watch a movie and I'll say, yeah, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, and this happened last season, blah, blah, blah. We were doing this with Big Little Lies this week. And you were like, what?
I'm like, how do you remember those people's names? We haven't watched this show in a year.
Yeah, Alexander Skarsgård. He's dead. Spoiler alert.
Anyway, that's the lie. It's little and big.
It's little and
anyway, so they all get dressed up. It starts. Garrett pounces immediately. He's like, listen, I'm going to talk to you.
And as you know, I struggle with Garrett.
This is an issue. Because Garrett was like, hey, listen, if you remember back, this has happened 2 weeks ago.
Literally.
He goes, hey, listen, buddy, to Luke. Mm. Hey, listen, buddy, on your date, on your one-on-one, you don't talk about the rest of us.
That's right.
So he goes on his little mini micro cocktail party, like one-on-one thing mm-hmm. with Hannah. And he's like, hey, you know, just want to check on you. Just want to see how you're going. It's going great.
It was going great.
It's going great.
He was doing a great job.
And then the very end, he's like, but wait, one last thing. Did Luke talk about any of us? And I'm like, dude, first of all, play by your own rules.
That's true.
You know, play by your own rules.
That's true.
It's called integrity. Second of all, you're not the police.
That's true.
You're not the who-can-talk-about-who police.
But you know, Luke P. likes to lie. And so I get where he was coming from in terms of asking him
the question. Just use your percent.
And we will get to that in a minute, okay? Ugh. So Hannah essentially says, well, yeah, Luke, I asked Luke to tell me about some of the experiences that happened and what he was struggling with, and for him to give me specific names. He named Mike, he named Dylan, he named Devin, I guess.
Apparently there's still a guy named Dylan who's part of the show.
I like Dylan. Dylan's got a bad tattoo. Dylan has a bad tattoo, everybody. And so after that, Garrett started to see red. He went into the other room after talking to Hannah, had a great talk with her, and basically launched right into, I wouldn't call it screaming, I would say...
Accusing
Luke P. of lying, which technically he did.
Well,
about,
yeah, this is the only way he communicated.
Yeah, lying about whether or not he did what Garrett said he did.
But also...
Yes.
If you're a guy in the house, mm-hmm. Garrett especially,
yeah,
you have to realize that you cannot argue with Luke at this point. Mm-hmm. You cannot put logic and like truth in front of him and present him with these things.
No.
He just doesn't respond to that. He takes everything very personally, and he doesn't think he's ever been wrong about anything ever, and he just changes what you're talking about. It's like a classic entry-level, like, logical fallacies.
Well, essentially, this is also the same person that said, people love me. Everybody loves
me.
He's
a psychopath.
He's crazy. He's really insane. And when you listen to him talk, his speech pattern is so erratic and weird. And I wonder if he realizes that he's on TV and he's not talking like a normal person. He's talking like he's very aware of what his perception is going to be. So that's why he sounds like a robot, like he's not making any sense. You know?
I don't know, because I don't know what he's like in real life.
Exactly.
This guy's a monster.
Oh, God, I can't stand him. I really don't understand this. And so the guys...
Is this what it's like to be single?
Yeah, this is it, Adam.
Is this what's out there?
This is what's out there.
I feel like I know a lot of people in real life, and all of them, pretty normal people. I don't feel like I know a Luke P. But do I?
You do.
Do I know people who are like going out on dates and like trying to like
push up,
be single like this, and they're like this?
Yeah, I think you do. Unfortunately, you probably know more Luke P's than you think you do.
That would be shattering to me.
It's the worst.
I would have a hard time with that.
And then here's the thing. There are people that you know.
Don't you just here's the thing me in the middle of one of my moments.
I'm going to give it to you.
You're giving it to me right now.
There are people that you know that are like Luke P that are married.
Oh my God. And they continue to be like Luke P.
Yeah. And they continue to be like Luke P and they are married to other people.
Man.
Are you shook?
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Do they marry other Luke P type people?
I don't think so. Which makes it even worse.
What if that were to happen?
What if
Chernobyl?
Wait a minute. What if you're Luke P?
No, is this one of those things?
Is
if
it?
If you sit down at the poker table and you don't know who's the Luke P, you're the Luke
you're
P.
You're the Luke P. It's you. So the guys get into this weird,
I'm not
like,
strong enough to be Luke P, physically.
Well.
Emotionally. I'm all strong.
Okay.
Physically. Lacking.
Petite. So the guys get into this weird, I don't know, circle jerk of a fight. Is that what you would call it?
No.
I mean, I like to use the term circle jerk. It's just, I think it's funny. Sorry.
That is sort of an exchange of pleasure. This was not an exchange of that at all. It was an exchange of accusations.
Okay, but a circle jerk of accusations.
No.
No? Is that not how we're going to use it?
That's not how anybody uses it.
I'm going to use it like that. The guys got into a circle jerk of accusations, and Hannah overheard them fighting, and she came into the room, and she shut it down. She read the guys to Phil. She said, "This is ridiculous. I want you to leave Luke P alone. I want you to stop talking about him, because I know that he is a terrible person, and I know that he is poisoning and toxic and creating a toxic environment among all of you guys, but you need to use your
percent. You can't help what you're into."
Right, literally. She literally said that to them. You can't help what you're into, but I need you to focus on your relationship with me and not
use
on
your percent.
Use your percent and not on your relationship with Luke P. And yet, the girls were still fighting.
Yeah, like, this is the classic example of how you can say the right thing and say it wrong. Like, Hannah is right.
She's definitely right.
She said it wrong because she's dumb.
She couldn't put it together.
She's like, "Why don't you guys know anything about me? Why aren't we talking about me?" And I'm like, well,
legit, because this show is about you. The fact that All you're doing is asking questions about all these guys, and I highly doubt that she could shout out something about herself, and the guys would be like, "Oh, I didn't know that."
So, great.
Yeah, great.
Oh, yeah. I thought his name was Adrian. Oh, he's a king. Because, yeah, he's a good king.
This is not a vampire getting access to a building. It's not like she has to be asked a question to reveal information.
Oh, okay. It's like vampire.
A vampire. Really.
No, I knew. They have to be asked in. Had to be invited in.
Yeah.
Okay.
If she has something that she wants to talk about, she can just talk about it. She's a grown up.
It does seem like she's really setting something up.
She's forgetting that she's half of the conversation she's not having.
Yeah, it does really feel like she's setting something up. Like, there's all this stuff that she needs to reveal about herself. And I'm like,
so reveal it.
So, LMK, sis. Like,
there's a great way, like, when you're in a relationship with somebody, you can say, "Hey, I want to talk about something." And if you're the Bachelorette, they have to listen to you.
The show's about you.
This is
you.
The most captive audience you're going to have in the rest of your life.
Yeah. Until the cameras are off.
I mean, she's something. Like, she's right.
Yeah, she's
right.
They
need to stop fighting.
Yeah.
She's wrong about all of this. We only talk about stupid stuff. Well, yeah, because you're stupid and you're leading the conversations.
That's true. So the guys continue to fight, and she ends up crying a bunch and threatens to quit the show. And literally the next hour and 15 minutes is a clip show where she is being, quote unquote, interviewed by Chris Harrison about whether or not she wants to continue on this journey.
Yeah, this show.
No, I'm not joking. That is what happened.
This show just slides out of control so fast.
And to keep your car from sliding out of control, We've got a message from our friends at Grismer Tires.
Since 1932, Grismer Tire has believed that your family's safety on any road condition is paramount to creating a legacy of trust. Whether it's a road trip or a trip to the grocery, your family arriving safe and sound is the only thing that matters. We guarantee no other shop has our commitment to safety, service, and the everyday low cost your family deserves. Get 4 free oil changes with the purchase of 4 new tires. It's a Grismer tradition. Grismer Tire, a legacy of trust for families and their cars since 1932.
Thanks, Grismer Tire. And so during the clip show, we go to Latvia where Chris Harrison is.
Yeah, you gotta go somewhere to have this sit down.
Yeah.
There's not a couch in Scotland.
Anywhere. Inverness. Or as the French say, Invernois.
Invernois.
Invernois. They talk in Latvia, and then later on, it's clear that they're back at the Bachelor Mansion in LA.
Yeah, for some reason, we just zoomed back, and Chris Harrison came in, like, after school special style. Like, hey, listen.
Hey, kids.
We really need to talk, because this has never happened before. Mm. Which is, you know, take it, like, finish your drink every time he says this has never
right,
happened
I'd
before.
Be dead.
They're forcing this season to have, they're forcing every season to have something new that none of the other seasons have ever had. And this one is just this mid-season breakdown that miraculously can be cured by a one-hour clip show spectacular.
You know who wouldn't have done this?
Anyone else.
Tayshia.
Oh, yeah. But also literally anybody else. She counts as part of that. You just had a more exact answer than I did.
I did.
Both accurate. Yours is just more precise.
I mean, pretty much the show stopped here. Right? She recapped all of the dates
no,
that
it's
she
over.
Had. And then they even
nothing
showed,
moved forward.
They showed bloopers, and then they said, here's what's going to happen in the next few weeks of The Bachelorette. That was it.
Yeah, so we just went through all the drama of the season.
Again.
And like, they kind of made some up. They're like, here's stuff you've never seen before. But I don't care.
I don't care. I want to have the narrative of the story progress.
There's a sort of natural conversation thing here that goes, why did I watch this? And you're like, it's terrible. Why did I watch it? And mm-hmm. then you go, why do I watch the other couple of hours?
Why did I watch any of it?
For you, the listener of 25 to Life, is
That's
why
right.
I watch it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, I meant you, the listener. I'm pointing at the microphone here, not Taylor Robinson, my co-host. I did not mean you, Taylor Robinson, when I said you.
I meant
you, the listener.
I mean, thanks for hitting him with my entire government. I really appreciate it. I guess let's go to our end of the road. Like, I mean, that's really what happened. I mean,
well, no, at the end of it. So the goal of this thing is for some arc where she's like, I really don't know. I really don't know if I want to keep doing this. And Chris Harrison's like, let's take a quick tour down memory lane. Here are the fun parts. Here are the weird parts. Don't you want to keep doing this? And then at the end she goes, you know what? I'm on board. You've convinced me. I will do this. I will keep soldiering on through this moment of unfortunate cloudiness. I will push through.
This is what happens when you choose a 24-year-old person.
Idiot.
To be on the show.
Yeah, are we supposed 24? To be inspired?
I'm not inspired. I don't feel like love is alive. I don't feel like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe that she's finding love and she's against all odds. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Are we supposed to sit here like she's teetering on the edge of not even being on the show anymore?
This whole episode was literally the radiation clock on Chernobyl getting louder and faster and louder and faster the more they
travel. You gotta drain the tanks!
You gotta drain the tanks, but at what cost, Adam?
At least three people.
At least three people had to drain the tanks. Those men aren't coming back.
That's a good segue into End of the Road.
Oh God, how did we lose?
We lost three people today.
We lost three men. Their suits disintegrated as they were trying to drain those tanks.
Right? I'm gonna go in order of how much I like them, starting with the most. So that means Devin is first.
Aw.
Devin took a little bit too active of a role in the house fight against Luke.
He did.
Like, Luke is losing the battle. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to look around and realize this. It's 10 against 1, it's 11 against 1, whatever. Sit there, look around the room, realize you have the numbers, and then sit back and go, I don't need to make this one-on-one. I'm fine with just leaving it be and letting other people take care of that.
And I think the thing about it, too, is don't fight the battle when you know you are a fringe character in this experience. Like, there's no way that Devin couldn't have looked around the room and said, and looked at Ty Ty and Biscoff Peter and looked at even Luke P and said, I got a dog in this fight. You do not, young man. Just, she called Dustin's name before yours.
Just keep your mouth shut and Dustin try to hang out.
Dustin is a 30-year-old realtor with a nose ring. Nose ring. She doesn't give a f- about you, man. No.
Devin is gone. He was a mainstay in my power rankings. It's going to be tough to replace him.
Yeah.
Not tough. Let's go to Grant next.
You know what?
You would employ Grant?
I would give.
Grant, if you're listening.
I like him. You know, Grant was somebody.
He grows on you.
He grew on me for sure. He festered. Like.
He's likable. I worry, is he capable of being serious?
I don't know. He seemed pretty serious. I think.
Pretty seriously unemployed.
Hello. But he also did seem like somebody that could interject at the right times, was a strong kind of silent type.
Is that what you're looking for? An interjector?
Yeah, well, no. He also seemed like the kind of guy that would listen and take a situation in and then assess. You know what I mean?
I feel like he's the kind of guy who'd have a lot to say about something that doesn't matter. Like the order in which you should eat a pack of fruit snacks. You save the good ones for last. You start best to worst. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, he seems like he has. But what's the option that he's providing?
Well, like any intelligent person can tell you, you alternate between the good flavors and the bad flavors. Obviously.
I don't know. I think that's wrong.
No, you start with what you have the most of, regardless.
How big is a fruit snack pack, though?
Well, it's a standard fruit snack pack. You got maybe 8 to 10 in there.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got 8 to 10, you assess how many good ones there are and then throw out the bad ones if you've got...
You don't throw anything out. Oh, yeah. That's dumb. No, you're not throwing food away.
I'm not eating green, girl. I'm not doing it.
No, you dump
them
all out.
I'd rather eat lemon than green.
First of all, well, I mean...
Hello?
Maybe.
Hello?
What are you talking about? Green apple or watermelon?
I'm talking like green, like the green that's like green apple. Or like, I don't even know what green is like in a pack of Haribos, you know?
Well, it depends.
No, it's usually green apple or something stupid.
So, like, listen, here's the pro move. I'm telling everybody, yeah, this unemployed guy would do this, but don't worry, here's a strategy. You dump them all out.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever you have the most of, you start with that no matter what.
Okay.
Okay. Then.
What if it's a bad color? What if it's orange?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Oh, Jesus.
You can even those numbers out.
Okay. Guys, clearly nothing happened on the episode because we were very focused on this.
Anyway, you got to even the numbers out a little bit. You kind of just eat, you know, nibble on what you have the most of till you get down to a normal amount of most of the numbers.
The ratio,
then you got to alternate between the good ones and the bad ones. You got to make sure you end on a strong note because that flavor is going to be in your mouth for a while. You got to end on a red.
Oh, definitely. Or.
Or, if they're gummy bears, a clear. That's pineapple.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We also lost Kevin, who I was surprised to find out is still on the show.
Kevin dislocated his arm for this girl. Don't forget.
Kevin seems nice, but has no actual descriptors. What name a thing about Kevin besides dislocating his arm?
He's super pale.
Cool. Not on the show anymore.
Okay.
Let's do power rankings really fast.
Yes.
I'm just going to list my 4-3-2-1 in a row.
Do it.
Number 4 is Peter because I like the Biscoffs.
Ugh.
Number 3 is Garrett because I like the golf course thing. Number 2 is the Jetty Bear because he's sweet and tiny. And number 1 is Mike because he is the most likable character left.
My number 4 is a two-way tie between Mike and Connor. Connor has a big tongue and Mike is the best.
Are you saying it's a positive or a negative?
My number three is Tyler. My number three is Tyler because...
Wait, does a big tongue change the order that you eat the fruit snacks in?
My number three is Tyler because he said, and I quote tonight,
"Hey, great.
Some of these guys are pressing and stressing tonight." Sounds like a panty dropper to me. My number two
Just two words that rhyme?
Yeah.
Two words that he arbitrarily removed the last letter from and now they rhyme?
This has been at least the third instance of Tyler dropping a G on an ING word. And saying it with style and grace.
He drops the G. Hannah adds a K.
He said creeping last week. I said, creeping? What you talking about? I was into it.
Hannah goes, you mean creeping?
No.
Oh, stop doing that.
Oh, God.
Have an education.
She does it. My number two is Biscoff Peter. And number one is the Jetty Bear.
The Jetty Bear.
The Jetty Bear.
The Jetty Bear is in it, man.
The Jetty Bear is killing it. He got a fresh haircut this week, too.
Bold prediction.
I think it's pretty clear what's going to happen. I think we discussed this early on in the show that it is very clear that obviously Luke P is going to continue to cause problems throughout the series. I nailed this from a, I mean.
The sexual jealousy thing you have nailed from a long way away.
Truly, I feel like Steph Curry in the middle of one of the games of his life shooting from half court. I called
timing
Luke,
a little bit.
I'm so sorry.
Here.
I'm so sorry, everybody. Go Dubs. But I called it. Luke P having a problem with the amount of intercourse that Hannah could potentially have with the guys on the show.
Yeah, it seems like it started because of some date where she has to bungee jump naked with Garrett.
And I think,
which is not really her choice. I don't think it's going to be the producers are going to just be needling her into this the whole time.
Right.
Or they made her do it or something.
And now, granted, I probably highly doubt that they were completely naked. You know how the show likes to put black bars over people's bodies? And they probably had swimsuits on or something like that. And so I think part of the problem had to do with the fact that it was Garrett. If it was anybody else, Luke wouldn't have challenged it. But because Garrett and Luke have been having problems, that's probably why he got more upset about it.
He is a psycho.
I can't believe he would fix his mouth to say something like that. Especially after he himself has said that he was out here while he was all in college. And now she can't have sex with anybody? No. No.
So the next big question then is, is Luke the only person in the rest of the season? Someone is going to be kicked off the show and come back and try to propose anyway. Like, that's going to happen.
And I think that's probably going to be Luke.
Because we assume it's Luke.
The symptoms of Luke getting kicked off of the show and returning are rampant.
Who do you think she's going to pick? Who do you think is going to win in all of this?
I think it's either going to be Peter or the Jetty Bear.
I think it's going to be Peter because he's going to hold his mouth the best.
Yeah, Peter's not going to say anything. And like, Jed has been pretty tight-lipped about the whole thing.
I think it bothers him. It definitely bothers him.
He
didn't
more
say
than
anything in
Peter.
This episode because he already had a rose and he didn't need to jeopardize that or anything.
Yeah.
Like, the winner of the season is going to be the person who says the least, who just watches this Luke Chernobyl happen.
Nice.
And just says the least about it.
Yeah. And even Peter said during that dumb nothing fight that everybody was saying, like, you guys need to cut that. Nobody needs to talk about this dumb thing anymore. We need to focus on Hannah. I've been focused on Hannah, and I don't want to hear about it anymore. And that's going to essentially get him picked.
She's going to pick her winner.
I know. I would love for there to be a season where I am finally, I don't know, emotionally fulfilled, where the lead picks somebody that I actually like. If we get to the end of the season and she picks Jed, I'm going to cry.
How much of this Luke stuff do you think she actually wants? Like, how much do you think she wants him to be in versus they're just making her keep him in because the show is not interesting without him?
I don't know. I mean, she seems really into him. And the other thing
chemically, she is.
Yeah, and the other thing...
But is that switching?
And the other thing that I wrote down is that, I mean, the producers are truly manipulating the hell out of her. And she is falling for it in every way, shape, or
form.
That's
why they selected a child.
An impressionable person.
Is because they could put words and thoughts and stuff in her mouth and in her head.
Yeah.
And she's falling for it Because she's not strong enough to, like, think through.
Yeah, yeah. And especially after a season like Colton's season, they need to get the show back under control, for sure.
And they're controlling it with Luke.
A maniac. And so I'm just ready for Mike's season of The Bachelor. I just really am. I want it to start tomorrow. What do you think?
About this season in general?
Who's going to be The Bachelor? Do you still think it's going to be Mike?
Oh, yeah.
God, I hope so.
Staying with it being Mike.
God, I hope so.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I wish we had control over what happened in the actual television box instead of just the computer box that you're listening to us on. I wish I could, but I don't.
You could put those creative writing skills to use.
Apparently, I'm not the only one with creative writing skills. Prove it. Special episode. Taylor reads fan fiction.
I am not going to read my fan fiction. How dare you? No.
If you're listening to this and you want to hear that, leave a comment.
You know why I'm not going to read my fan fiction? Because you can't handle it.
I'm pretty sure I can.
You absolutely cannot handle it.
You have no idea how much entry-level creative writing I've read. I can handle a lot.
I don't think you can handle it.
I wasn't legally married to those people either.
Well,
legally married, sort of that's saying too much. Married is legal. You can't be illegally married to somebody.
All right.
Prove it. Try me.
I think the few things that we'll leave you with are that, don't trust your government because...
Is that where this is going?
Don't trust your government because when the government is telling you that a nuclear plant didn't blow up and that there's just a fire on the roof, when really the core of a nuclear power plant is exposed and you are inhaling chemicals for a week.
They're
lying to you on purpose and you're going to die.
I didn't realize this was going to Chernobyl. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Adam, it's always going to Chernobyl. Okay. It's always going there.
Everyone died.
Everybody died. You're dead. This guy's cut.
Yeah.
This guy's cut. You're dead. You're dead.
You watch the show and you're like, there's 100 people on camera right now. And they're all going to die.
They're all dead.
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 Dead now, dying.
Dead.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
What a show.
Sorry about this, everyone. Come back next week.
Please.
Wow, those two sentences really don't go together. Sorry. This week, not a great week to be a Bachelorette fan or watcher. A great week to be just a podcast listener.
Yes. Though. With strong cultural currency, by the way.
Watching Chernobyl on TV.
Totally.
Hey, that's it. Come back next week. It'll be fun. I promise. I swear. More jokes about Luke. He's kind of an idiot.
And also, bold prediction, Tyler C. with at least a 5-inch inseam.
That guy.
Woo!
I'm not sure he has the brains to put on longer shorts.
But he's got those knees.
Whatever.
Yes!
Get out of here. Come back next week. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Stop with my mind. None of you know anything about me. I want fun and I want adventures.
Because all we do is talk about stupid
jabroni.
The roll tide, yeah.
It was real and it was raw.
I'm a normal human being, like trying to be a bachelorette.